during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Each application will be announced. The director will review with the council the minutes and testimony from the planning and zoning hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record, along with any exhibits introduced at the planning and zoning hearing and any recommendations made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. After that, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak, you're required to come to the front and stand at the speaker stand and state your name and home address before you make a statement. Please sign the sign-in sheet at the podium. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to Mr. Lank and it will be made part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beep, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, council will do likewise. And the first hearing today is conditional use number 2000 Joint Venture LLC. Mr. Lank?
Yes, thank you. This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a facility for wedding ceremonies and receptions to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Luscious County. A parcel containing 1.683 acres, more or less. The land lying at the southwest corner of Warrington Road, Road 275, and Old Landing Road, Road 274, with a 911 address of 35060 Warrington Road, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, with a tax map ID of District 334, Map 12, Parcel 121.01. The Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearings on this application on November 13, 2014. Before you have a packet that was provided from the Commission for consideration, the packet includes references to the exhibit booklet provided by the applicants, comments from the Department of Transportation, comments from the Sussex Conservation District, the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. During the public hearing, Joe Brenton and David Sterner of Jovid Ventures LLC was present with Tim Willard, attorney with Fuquay, Urey and Willard PA, and gave testimony. Dr. Nicholas Del Campo was present in support of the application and gave testimony in support. There were no parties present and in opposition. The commission during that public hearing did defer action and has yet to meet again to make a decision on this application. So we have before you a case of deferral for further consideration. The application is on the agenda for December 11th for consideration for a decision.
Okay.
For the benefit of council, I'll pass out some documents prepared.
Is there some reason for deferral that you could share with us?
Deferred for further consideration. For the purpose of the commission preparing a bona fide motion with reason and condition of approval if necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Passing out a copy of and package of information with the letters of support and photographs. And I only have four copies. You can all share them. Mm-hmm. And I also pass out copies of the original. Again, you have to share copies of the original document.
document submitted on November 2nd by the applicants. Again, there's a reason I have a lack of copies of the commission still in review of the copies that they hold. Chair, please. And I also have a copy of the survey of the property showing.
I'm gonna look at some.
The agreement on property. And that's all I have. Unless you have questions?
Are there any questions from council?
Well, I'm assuming DelDOT will have something to say about the entrance. Have you heard from them at all?
The only comments we received from DelDOT, because this is a conceptual application time, is that the level of service D and the level of Warrington Road and the level of service C of Old Landing Road will not change as a result of this application. If the use is approved, the applicant will still be required to go back to DelDOT and see if they have to make any improvements to their entrance once they get the approval.
Okay, thank you.
If there are no other questions, Mr. Willard.
Morning, members of council. Tim Willard with Fuqua Yorian Willard. We have offices here in Georgetown and an office in Rehoboth, and I represent the applicants. Jovid Inc., the principals in that is Joe Sterner. Joe's over here to the left, and David Branton. Brenton, I'm sorry. Can't read my own writing. Mr. Brenton. And they're the owners of the Homestead Bed and Breakfast that I'm sure probably members of the council are familiar with. It's the bright yellow building on the corner of Warrington and Old Landing. In fact, the building dates probably back to the Civil War. It was part of the old Warrington farm, although deed records go to 1899. Just to, Ms. Stever, if I can cut right to your question from the get-go, because you know, I was here, obviously, at Planning Commission, and I think it's very fair to say that the Planning Commission, the application was favorably received. Mm-hmm. In fact, this morning I just re-listened to the dialogue where they deferred at the end. Much of the discussion was exactly what you asked about, which is about the parking and DelDOT's consideration. There's no question that if council approves this application, that the site plan will go to DelDOT. Uh-huh.
Yes,
and because that entrance is pretty close to Old Landing, they may have to adjust it.
They have to.
So we're just taking one hurdle at a time. We can't go to DelDOT before the site plan's approved.
That's true. You know, that gets a chicken. What is it? Horse before the car? Whatever. Cart before the horse. How about that?
They're aware of it. And I, once again, or let me just apologize for you not having enough copies. I didn't realize they weren't going to you because it. Planning Commission is still considering, and I have some copy here I might be able to hand you as I go through my presentation. This is a parcel that's about almost 2 acres. To give you a little history of the property, it was approved for a special use to run a bed and breakfast about 10 years ago or so, and just more recently, the cottage in the back was approved for 2 more bedrooms for a bed and breakfast. Just about the business themselves, these gentlemen took it over a little over a year ago or 2 years ago, and it's been quite successful. In fact, business is very good, and this application comes before you because of a demand that they're feeling from their customers that say, could we have a wedding reception here? And I suppose they could do a wedding reception without permission from you all, but what they want to do is if they want to have a wedding reception, a dinner there or something, they want to be able to do it, and to charge for it, that would be an added business that they need approval for. So that's why they're before you. The submissions, which are part of the record, are, and I'm going to go through my booklet, and I don't need to tell you all this, but the conditional law is before you, which allows in the AR district for business or commercial purposes. We believe the application they're asking for is a semi-public use that will provide for the general convenience of the public. In other words, it's another venue, it's an alternative venue to a business in Sussex County, Eastern Sussex, that's really kind of booming, quite frankly. And if somebody can't afford to go to Rehoboth Country Club, or if they don't want to do it at the Fire Hall, this is an alternative venue, which is kind of nice, and it's historical.
But it's smaller than what would, you know. These are for small groups. Small weddings is what I understand.
Yeah.
Small groups, not.
And in fact, at the end of my presentation, I've proposed conditions which may limit the time or the number of people, and they're flexible in that regard. They're throwing out a number But if council is inclined to improve it with somewhat more limitations, they're open to that. They obviously have five bedrooms. The concept or the business plan is that the people that are getting married would stay there, maybe the closest wedding party, and if there are other guests that can't fill the five rooms, they might stay in the various hotels that are popping up on Route 1 and be shuttled to the place for the wedding and maybe the reception as well. Mm-hmm. That's the business plan. And they've had inquiries to do this, so that's why they're asking. And I've also included the comprehensive plan, which has this as a developing area, which we think is consistent for some higher grade of activities. And I've also included some state strategies, which isolates this area as some place where there is more development.
Which is what number?
I think it's 2. And when you look at the map, I've included level 2 and 3,
okay.
Mr. Phillips. I hope you have this. But anyway, it's just the verbiage from the state strategy from your comp plan, which calls for states' intent use of spending and management tools to promote well-designed development areas, while development in less than 3 years may be appropriate. I included 2 and 3 because if you look at the color of the comp plan, especially online, it kind of cuts right into it. So it may be level 2 or 3.
Okay.
I've also included a tab 3, the Google Earth of the, this might be the text map, but it shows the corner lot, which is a large lot for the area. Across the street, you have some more sort of higher density multifamily use, and then I think it's Breezewood across the street at Old Landing.
Is it within our own developing area?
Yes, it is.
Yes, okay, I got
and
you.
That's included in the record. It is within your developing area. And then tab 4, you have the site plan. The only thing that's changed on this, which was made a part of the record, you see the parking spaces that are provided there. The two closest to the open area, Mr. Sterner indicated that was an error. They wouldn't be included. And the proposed temporary tent would not go there because there's trees there. And that's for the record. You can see that, and there are some pictures that you should have as well that I'll show you, that the house is right on the corner, and there's a cottage in the back. But otherwise, there's a garage which has four spaces. But there's a large field right on the sort of northeast corner. There's a ceremony area up here, and you'll see some other pictures. There's a tree and garden out there. So the ceremony could take place inside the old home, or it could take place in those other areas. And if there were a reception where a tent was necessary, that's the proposed area in the northeast corner. So that's the site plan. There's no major construction or permanent construction to be contemplated in this application. Everything would be temporary. A tent, if it was a larger wedding with over a certain amount of people, they might want to get temporary bathrooms out there. I think what's important to know as far as their plan is, and what you all know probably by just common sense, is these aren't spontaneous events. They're actually well thought out and
yeah.
planned by the parties that want to do it there. So it's not like things are just popping up. As Mr. Lank said, we filed a service evaluation request, and no TIS was requested.
Mm-hmm.
As I've already indicated, that hurdle with their entrance there may be their biggest hurdle. But they're aware of that. And I included when I arrived at Planning Commission several letters that I hope you all have before you. I read them out loud, and I recall the chairman looking at me, Chairman Wheatley, kind of saying, "We get it." So I'm not gonna. I assume you all get it too, but I would like to reference these. There's one from Mr. Buckmaster who lives across the street. He's been in the community for a long time, and he, to paraphrase, my understanding that the Bed and Breakfast Homestead, located at the corner of Old Landing Warrington, is seeking a conditional use. I would be in favor of such use. I see no issue with either noise or traffic. Quite frankly, the four-way stop at the intersection works well, and he knows the applicants, and he references that. And you'll hear that as sort of a theme, that these gentlemen have really taken care of the place and fixed it up pretty nicely. There's another one from Verity Watson. Michael and I are next-door neighbors of the owners after discussing their plans. They're on the old landing. So.
Correct, directly behind.
Okay. And so they're neighbors, they're good neighbors, and deserve this chance to provide another service. There's another letter from Charles Oakes and Robert, I'm not going to do his name justice, but it's in the record. They're in approval. There are a couple businesses that would support such activity, reference caterers and restaurants that might offer their services to provide reception food and things like that. There's a letter from Kathy McDonald in support, Hobos, the Del Campos, which are other neighbors. They actually showed up, and they're right across the street towards mm-hmm. Breezeway, and said that this would be good. These guys have been great neighbors, and I'm sure they'd do it well.
I got a phone call from some of those.
Did you? Good. And then I've included the website. You might have pictures that you're sharing, which I can give these, hand these up, which just show that, you know, this is not a teeny little lot. There's room to put a nice tent there, and the pictures show the cottage. The area where there was going to be a proposed tent, which is not, is the area that has that beautiful hickory tree, I think it is.
Maple.
It's a maple, okay. I know my trees. Or I don't.
Okay. I have a question. It just
it's not about the scar on my head. Nobody's asked about that.
Were you in a fight or something? Did you win?
With the real story? I was getting a boat out.
Oh.
And it's had to do with me in a trailer.
Okay.
So hitch.
This may not be something that we have any saying on. However, I'm very excited by the fact that's the old Warrington House. And we don't particularly have anything in the code that I know of that requires or asks that it be preserved and noted. But I hope that does happen. And just a comment. I don't think the county has anything, Mr. Moore, that in our code that asks that a building with all the history that it be preserved. I'm just glad that it is. Just put it that way.
I don't think it's registered, but that might add to it.
It would be wonderful.
I can tell you by their track record, and it's in their interest to keep it preserved, and they've done a
pretty good
job. Certainly,
it's important.
And we've offered proposed conditions with the number of tenant events, 15, the number of people, total 125
mm-hmm.
Events just on Friday and Saturday, and cutting off at latest 10 o'clock. But like I said, as far as the number and the timing, it's not their intent to have weddings in July and August, if that concerns council. If you want to add that condition to prohibit them, that might be an issue, because that intersection is rather busy.
Mm-hmm.
The concept here is if they're going to have a wedding that's going to be more than 20 or 30 or 40 people, that people would be shuttled there, and there would be a special place for that transportation to drop the other wedding party off or some of the out-of-town guests. So that's my presentation. I'd like to call one of the principals up just to confirm it. Do you need him sworn?
Yes.
Tell us who you are and sign up on the sheet there.
Sure. You state your name.
Oh, sure. Members of the council, I'm Joseph Sterner. I'm one of the innkeepers and owners of the Homestead Bed and Breakfast. First of all, thank you very much for allowing us the opportunity to be here today and present our application to you. As Mr. Willard already pointed out, we've owned the property for about 14 months now. Within a short amount of time, we've been awarded certificates of excellence, and also we are currently the number one rated bed and breakfast in the area on TripAdvisor. So with that has come a lot of inquiries about hosting weddings. We believe that we are the quintessential bed and breakfast, the quaint bed and breakfast that people want to stay at and then get married at. So what we're asking for is very much in line with what is thought about when it comes to bed and breakfast in the area. Also, as Mr. Willard pointed out, not everyone has the funds to have a wedding reception on country club grounds or other means, or especially whenever you only have a wedding party or a guest list of 25 people, it just doesn't make very much economic sense to hold it on a property that's designed for 300 or 400 or 500 people. So we like to think that we are providing a service for the middle class and getting people in, letting them have a beautiful grounds to get married on, and you know, providing memories for them. Also, we've been really blessed with our neighbors. We've been great neighbors, and our neighbors have been absolutely wonderful during this time period. They have been very supportive of us in this venture. But also, we've had probably at least a dozen or so neighbors either swing in to the property as they see us out, manicuring the grounds, or give us a phone call and just letting us know that they really appreciate the updates that we've made, and that it's not unnoticed. And so with this application and being able to charge for wedding receptions, all that money is going right back into the property itself. That allows us to keep our funds for our rooms. But you know, that's what we're looking to do. You know, keep the grounds updated, you know, and make them absolutely stunning and further that focal point of the community then.
Okay. Use the word middle class. You also use the word charge, but you didn't tell me how much you're going to charge.
Oh, sure. Well, absolutely.
If wealthy people would like to.
If someone is running the entire grounds, someone is running the entire property, the rooms, and no outside people are coming in, the charge is free. You know, to hold the wedding on the property, because you already have the grounds, you're not bringing in outside guests. But otherwise, depending upon the number of guests, it'll range somewhere between $250 to $1,000 will be the grounds fee. Mm-hmm.
I think they want you to sign this.
Sure.
Yes. Do you have anything else, Mr. Willard?
I was just going to ask Mr. Sterner, before he started talking, whether he heard what I said to council and whether it was true or correct to best of his knowledge.
Yes, it is.
Thank you, Mrs. Olley.
Do you have any other witnesses?
I do not.
Okay. Any questions from the council?
Yes. Cole? Yes. It appears that there's a parking issue. If you're having a wedding and you can have 125 people and you show 12 parking places and it's going to be catered, and there's going to be other, you know, possibly workers or helpers associated with it, it's just totally inadequate for a good, you know, even 125 person wedding is, you know, pretty substantial. And what I've seen, you know, in other areas is, next thing you know, people don't like to go to places without their cars. They'll be parking out on the county roads, and as you've noted, it is a tricky intersection. I just see that there's a need, and I don't know if Mr. Lank can share anything on it. Is there a parking formula that can be associated with such an activity as such as this? Because 12 parking places, you'd have to have 10 people in every car.
But
they're all used limousines.
I know they said something about shuttling in and this and that, but we can't control that. I mean, I'm looking at things that the county can enforce, so if the neighbors are concerned about things, they can call us up and we could do something about it. But there just seems to be inadequate parking.
Well, if I could, before I know you asked Mr. Lank, but it's Mr. Lank actually addressed this. The Planning Commission, it's really, I think the threshold is, so Mrs. Deaver, and we're asking you to approve only a given amount of parking spaces, and they've added more for this conditional use that would go off the pavement. I think up to 12, plus there are 4 in the garage, but they would reserve in the back lot, which is over 38 feet long, I think, they would reserve parking for people dropping people off. Mm-hmm. As far as your enforcement, I don't think there is a formula for wedding receptions as far as this, but we're asking, and we think it's sufficient, especially with DelDOT's review, if you approve a limited amount of parking and you get people, you know, barking about parking, then they're in violation if they have too many cars there. Period. Amen. You know, you can yank their conditional use.
Well, wouldn't it be posted? No parking on the on the road.
Well, not only would it be posted, I think the point that I referred to before, as far as in their own best interest to do the right thing, they're going to limit the parking. But these are events that are planned, so in invitations and directions.
Warrington Road.
And I understand, Mr. Coles, people like their cars and they don't like to let their cars go, but it would be understood well in advance that if there's a party, a wedding party or reception that requires more cars than people, they're not going to be parking on that property. There will be spaces for them to be dropped off. And your enforcement would come from merely the parking that you granted them, which is presented on the site plan.
Well, I mean, with 2 acres, I would like to see a site plan, maybe planning and zoning, show some where the additional parking would be, you know, on this site plan. Like you have a dog walk area. I don't know how many people are bringing dogs to the wedding, but, you know, if that could show, in other words, if areas like this could show park, I think there's a need, because this is a busy, busy spot. And when there's cars, you know, parked along on the shoulders and stuff, if they start calling us, you know, it's important. We don't have enforcement people that work Saturdays. We don't have enforcement people that work at night. And so I'd love to see an application that wouldn't require maybe the potential for issues. So anyway, I just see a lack of parking.
The commission had basically one of their concerns was the parking, and there is no real specific number in the code that it has to be established by the commission through review of the site plan.
But possibly if there's a caterer, I mean, if you showed a parking areas that the caterers or people who are putting on the wedding, you know, would park. In other words, there's going to be any wedding, you got flower people show. You got all kinds of things. And just the way this parking, what I'm looking at, doesn't meet the need that will be required.
And you're right.
Well, I looked at it, and I was there, and I don't know. I think you might be. Take a look at it, George.
And if you have a rainy day, they're going to really need those tents. Where's parking going to be then?
And one of your other concerns was the parking along public roads, which was stated by both of you, and it was a concern of the commission also, and I imagine that'll be one of the conditions of approval, but I can't say until I see.
Okay, you're right. That's what I'm saying. I'm just bringing these things up. I'm bringing these things up at our public hearing just to get them on the record. I also got, I do have concern also if, you know, parties not to exceed 125 persons. I mean, who are we going to send, Todd? Are we going to send somebody down there and start counting people? Don't look at me. I'm busy on Saturday nights. I'm not a person, people counter. So I don't know if the county even wants to get, so you might want to suggest to planning and zoning. I don't know if we want to be in a situation where we're having to worry about people and then even hours of operation probably. If you can't call us at night to, you know, a neighbor can't call us at night to question something.
Mr. Cole, I imagine that's an issue in all your conditional uses. Where
we've been trying over the
last enforcement. I know you have a constable now that's on it.
Right. Well, we're trying to back out some of these conditions that would require enforcement at certain hours that we know we don't provide enforcement. And it seems, like I said, it just seems crazy for us to be worried about a neighbor calls up and said, I saw 130 people go in.
We could have a condition that the conditional use be sent to Troop 7 so they have it on record.
Well, anyway, there's just some enforcement, Lawrence. So if you just mentioned to the Planning and Zoning Commission, you know, don't put a bunch of conditions in there that are going to require a lot of enforcement. We just, if they're going to have weddings, let them have weddings. You know? You can only hold so many people.
And like I said,
but then parking ought to be coordinated to some numbers. I do agree with that.
And Planning Commission had similar concerns. And like I said, my clients have flexibility on that number if they wanted to reduce it to.
No, I don't care. Just as long as there's sufficient parking for whatever function they put on, we just want to make sure we don't want them on the county roads.
I don't think it's a good answer to say we're just going to drop them off. I don't think that works very well either.
Maybe they should be after the wedding reception. Maybe they should go back in a bus instead of driving.
Yeah, that's another reason we wanted to do that.
Hey, okay, that's just some. We can't vote on this today anyway.
We're waiting for the council.
My concern.
They're good questions.
Do you have anything else, Mr. Willard?
No, sir.
And this is now on county sewer, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Is there anyone here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Seeing none, is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter. And if it's council's desire, close the public record. And as indicated, this matter was deferred by planning and zoning.
We will close public hearing, and if it's some of the council concerned, we'll close public comment. Mm-hmm. Sure. Entertain a motion to defer.
Deferral.
Motion, Mr. Phillips, second, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Any question on the motion? Mm-hmm. Mrs. Deaver will take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, sir.
And I do want to point out for the record, I think when I introduced this, I said it was joint venture is Jovid Venture LLC. And the next one is conditional use 2001, Christina Abrivowitz. Mr. Lang.
Yes, it's an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a veterinary practice to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, parcel containing 32,671 square feet, more or less, for land lying southeast of Old Mill Road, Road 265A, 1,900 feet northeast of Route 1, Coastal Highway, with a 911 address of 16403 Old Mill Road, Lewis, Delaware, with a tax map ID of District 334, map number 1, parcel number 23. Again, this application was reviewed by the Planning and Zoning Commission on November 13th of 2014. Again, before you, in your packet, the applicant did provide a survey site plan with their application. We did receive comments from DLDOT, the Sussex Conservation District, the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. We also received, at that, with the commission level, we had received 10 letters and emails in support and 36 letters and emails in opposition to the application. I will note that there are some duplication, since some letter writers had sent letters, emails, and fax copies of the same letter or duplication of the same letter. And the commission was provided with copies of some of those letters. For the benefit of council, I will pass out copies of the survey and site plan for the application. And I will also provide that there are now 15 letters in support. Uh-huh. And I have to present a copy for passing down for review, and 45 letters in opposition.
Oh my goodness.
Again, there are duplications of some of these letters, again, because there are emails, original copies of letters, fax copies of letters. Some parties write three or four letters or emails with different statements.
Thank you.
During the public hearing, Dr. Christina Abrivowitz was present on behalf of her application. Dan Lynch of Delaware Equine was present and spoke in support. Denise Dumont was present and spoke in support. There were a total of four parties present in support of the application during the public hearing. In the public hearing in opposition, we had five speakers out of 17 people present in opposition. The commission raised questions. The applicant and the opposition responded. And at the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission again did defer action for further consideration. And that motion carried 5-0. So I do not have a recommendation on this application. Again, the Planning and Zoning Commission had this application on their agenda for December 11th for consideration and whether by they should make a decision.
Any questions from council?
Well, to some extent, this applicant might be able to function as a cottage business. We have one. Heck, anybody in the AR district can have a cottage business or business at home. No employees, outside employees. There's some other limitations, but am I correct?
There is a possibility that this could be considered a home occupation. Since there is an application pending as a conditional use, I cannot give that application consideration until this is we resolve this issue with a conditional use.
Because that would, you would need to, you'd have to approve it.
It's a different type of review.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just wondering about it.
And it is a potentially, you could be used as a home occupation, but it would a lot of limitations.
Very many. Okay, thank you.
Okay, seeing no other questions, is the applicant here who would like to present your case? Come forward, please, and give us your full name and address, and then sign in too, please.
Hello, I'm Dr. Christina Bramwitz, and I live at 16403 Old Mill Road, and I shall sign in. So I am the owner-operator of Veterinary Alternative Care, LLC. I have a Doctor of Veterinary Medicine, which I obtained from Oklahoma State University. And I also have a Certified Veterinary Acupuncturist Certificate, which I earned from the Chi Institute in Florida. And this is the primary basis of my practice. I'm holistic practice, focusing on Chinese and alternative medicine. So I do a lot of acupuncture, massage, herbal therapy, and other similar modalities. I also do things like equine chiropractic for my equine patients. The only other acupuncturist in Sussex County is Dr. Wade. So there's definitely a limited availability to obtain acupuncture and holistic services in our county and in the state of Delaware. I currently have no employees and one intern. She goes to Cape and Lopin High School, and she shadows me on a lot of my farm calls and home visits throughout the week. So the main purpose of being able to see dog, cat, and other small animal patients in my home would be because when I go out to people's houses and farms, there's a call fee associated with this. I have time and resources involved in going from home to home. And while horse people are very much accustomed to absorbing this cost, horses are expensive and difficult to move, and they're used to having the vet come to them. Small animal owners are not familiar with this. They often ask me, what in the world is a call fee? And are surprised at the additional charge involved. So while some cat owners do appreciate having a vet who is on call and able to come to them, dog owners and other cat owners have difficulty budgeting for this fee. Acupuncture and holistic care is not simply a fringe medicine for those who have excess funds to spend on their animals or for those who have performance animals. It is for all animal owners who are interested. So I do very well with chronic issues such as arthritis, animals who've been on medications for a long time and not responding, or responding poorly to medications. I address a lot of diet. I do a lot of food therapy.
I've got one for you. If you ever get to. Are you practicing now somewhere?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got a cat, pretty big cat. Thank you. I'm sorry.
No worries. Yes, cats especially benefit from food therapy and being on the correct diet. So, yeah, definitely. Hold on. Lost my train of thought. No worries.
happens to us all the time.
Yeah, I'm just sorry.
You're fine.
My attention.
Is there a treatment for that?
There are acupuncture points, particularly on the skull. I should hit them before I came. So basically, I want to work in homes similar to like a massage therapist or a family doctor. A lot of my appointments are spent counseling clients, discussing with clients, and the treatments end up being very brief. There's a huge amount of discussion involved. My follow-up appointments typically take about an hour, and new patient appointments can last anywhere from 90 minutes to 2 hours to 3 hours. It's very time involved. It's not like a typical veterinarian.
No.
And so by having people come into my home, as you can see from the site plan, the survey, that is a very small house, but since I'm seeing one client at a time over a long period, there's more than adequate room in the house for me to do that in the space of like the living room and the spare bedroom as needed. And then also for parking, the parking there is adequate. It's a nice double wide driveway. And if someone were to come for like a 10 a.m. appointment and then there were to be another follow-up appointment at 11 a.m., they could simply park next to each other if there was some overlap in between of, you know, one arriving early, the other leaving late, and the other one would be free to pull out and go as they needed to. As I said, this is not a fringe modality. There's a high demand for this. I've been talking a great deal with pet owners in the area, not just my clients, but other professionals, whether they be already doing holistic human care, such as yoga, massage, acupuncture, and their own type of nutrition and food therapy for people. These people are pet owners and involved in the pet community, and they're very excited about what I do, have been referring people to me. And what I'm getting right now a lot of times is, I can't budget for that right now, but let me know your prices, and I'll try to do it in the new year. So by having people come to me, it would save them a lot of funds, particularly for people who have animals with chronic issues. They'd need a lot of follow-up. You know, it's not one-and-done medicine. So when they have to schedule me to come out, you know, 3-4 times, and they're paying a $40 or more call fee 3 or 4 times, that really adds up for them, and that's money they could spend elsewhere. I do not want to have any kennels or no overnights. Even as my business grows, that is absolutely not something I'm set up for or want to do. There are great clinics and kennels and home pet care services that can address all these needs in the community, and anything that's critical absolutely needs to go to a hospital like Savannah that's set up for it. I have some great support from not just the community, as I mentioned, but my neighbors. The villagers who live immediately to the north of me, the Farrells who live immediately to the south of me, the D'Amicos who live one down from the Farrells, and the Frederick family all are in support of my application and all live within my neighborhood. And they're very excited about what I do, of course. And like I said, you know, the neighborhood, the community, they would really benefit from me being able to provide this at home. It would keep the cost of this care down and do a lot. So I hope you will look favorably upon my application, and I'm happy to answer any and all questions you might have for me.
Well, it's in a community, and it's in the middle. It's not on any corner lot or anything in particular. I mean, it doesn't lend itself, I think, to do what you're, from what I can see, to what you're doing. But when you say when my business grows, how would it grow? With, you'd have to have a lot of, you know, limitations. If this were granted, how do you see that the business would grow? I mean, moving out of here and into a business location, or what are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm trying to determine. I'm slowly gathering information, you know, and asking people like what their needs and where are they located to see, you know, do I keep my practice central to Lewis and Rehoboth? Mm-hmm. Do I go a little westward towards Georgetown? And also my ideal, if it would work with my business plan, would be to have a large farm down the road. And that way I could also take in a limited number of equine clients who do want to haul in on a farm, see my small animal patients, and also have the benefits of living on a farm. Otherwise, I would have to see about, you know, if I need to stay closer to Lewis and Rehoboth, do I get a commercial thing? Will my clientele grow enough to hire a second vet at a separate location? Obviously, I would not have a separate vet. Mm-hmm. In my home, because it is still my home. So I have to kind of feel out as I go, see where the demand is, and then have a better able decision as where to expand, what is the next step, because mm-hmm. obviously this is just an important stepping stone.
But you would have some animals in there waiting for you to operate, treat. You would have some in there waiting. It wouldn't be one at a time. How do you picture that?
Yeah, so it would all be scheduled individually, just like if you were going in for a massage, the massage therapist might be seeing someone.
Trying to get at how many might be there in a typical day?
Over the course of the day?
Mm-hmm.
If it was all follow-up appointments, I might be able to do 6, mm-hmm. because, like I said, an hour each.
That's one at a time.
Yeah, one at a time. Everything's one at a time.
Okay.
because I can't, I don't have the space or the technicalities, and everyone comes with their animal. I don't do drop-offs.
Okay.
So everybody has to wait, and if I'm running a little late, like 5 or 10 minutes, they just have to wait for me to be ready. And obviously, I want to minimize that because I want to keep the flow good.
Any other questions from council?
Yes.
Cole?
You referenced retail sales. Is retail sales permitted, Lawrence, in the in say a home
C-U?
Occupation?
No, it's CU.
I'm asking Lawrence.
As a conditional use, it would be permitted as part of her practice. As a home occupation, it's very limited. It would have to relate to the practice itself. Now, typically, home occupation can provide for an office for a professional, being doctor, dentist, salesperson, something of that nature. They typically can provide retail sales of the products that they're prescribing, for samples.
No,
yeah, whatever.
I raise that because she's talking about her patients, but then there could be clients who need some follow-up medication, which also could bring more traffic to the site on a daily basis. You referenced retail sales, and
that's why, as I said earlier, the home occupation is very limited. It's controlled.
But we're looking at CU.
Then she has to apply for a conditional use. So as far as she's applying for a conditional use up front.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's the same neighborhood that is currently looking at another application, is it not?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So I don't want to get those two confused. That this is
they're both conditional uses, and they're two different types of conditional uses.
Absolutely different. Okay. All right, fine.
Any other questions from council?
As long as there's no dogs, as you said, are going to be left overnight, so that we don't have to worry about this barking dog incident. I mean, because we've heard so much about that. And I don't see any other problem, really. That's the biggest problem, is barking dogs overnight. And most neighbors, believe me, they complain about a dog that'll bark all night. So if you don't have that, we're...
You can understand that.
Mm-hmm. I'd be the one. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
If there are no other questions from council, is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Would you like to come forward, please? Give us your name and address, please.
I have one in my neighborhood. See you. She's a therapist right on Route 24.
Hi, my name is Lori Farrell. I live at 16417 Old Mill Road. I am right next door to Dr. Abramowitz. I completely approve of what she is trying to do. I think it's wonderful. One day I was outside with my dog in the yard and he stepped in a yellow jacket's nest. He was covered with yellow jackets. As I tried to help him, I was covered with yellow jackets, screaming like a little girl. And Dr. Abramowitz came running out of her house and she grabbed my dog and brought him in my house so that I could get changed and get the bees off of me. That's just one thing that was just so fortunate that she was there and she was able to come over to my house and take care of my dog. I didn't have to take him anywhere. She came over and she took care of him at my house, and that was a huge help. And I know that a lot of people with elderly dogs, my dog's getting dementia, it's hard to take him to the vet right now. To have someone to come and take care of him at my home is really a blessing. And I think a lot of people would benefit from that.
Thank you.
We do have a vet on the go, do we not? Jane Weiss. You're not familiar with that in the area? Okay.
Would you please sign in, please?
Yeah.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone else in favor of the application? Seeing none, excuse me, you're in favor? Okay, come forward, please.
Good morning, Paul Rigger, 1871 Deer Forest. Basically, the only comment that I have is anything as far as like the parking, the vets that I've used for my horses coming in, when the vet gives you the time, you're there at that time. You don't come late, you don't come early. It's 1, 2, 3, everybody's in and out, so I don't think you'd have that issue. The third thing is with a lot of the horses that are using Cape Penelope during certain times of the year, using Key Box, all down there, we're all bringing our horses over there to ride on the beaches and stuff, with a lot of injuries. If one of my horses did something on the beach or something, which isn't as uncommon. It's come back to Georgetown or somewhere. Having somebody in Lewis would be definitely an asset to the horse community.
Didn't she say small animal, or did she? I don't remember. She's, I guess not.
Small animals not to limit her house. She goes right out and sees horses.
Oh, we don't want the horse in the house, no.
But the horse in the house is, I guess.
I'm speaking at the beaches to go right to the beaches. I just heard the equine. I just assumed it was there was a reason here equine even came up. Yep. If it was done like that.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else in favor? Seeing none. Is there anyone else? Okay, did you want to speak? Okay. Is there anyone in opposition to this application? Okay, why don't we start right over here if you would like to speak, ma'am?
Okay, I'm Mary Groom. There's no pen. Oh, here it is. I'm Mary Groom, and I live at 3 Roberts Road. Okay, I have prepared a statement which I would like to read to you. This is for the record for case number 2001. We residents of Old Mill area have been misinformed by Christine Abramowitz from the beginning of her appearance at 6 at Old Mill Road. We did not know of her intentions to open a veterinarian practice on this property. She told neighbors she was a veterinarian, but did not say she actually planned to do her work at this address. We did wonder why she had a horse trailer parked in the rear of her paddock area. We learned of her intentions when the Carters and I received a letter on October 10, 2014, from the Planning and Zoning Commission, which told us about the application which was introduced at the September 9th Sussex County Council meeting. There was no visible yellow notice sign posted on her property until I called Planning and Zoning. One did appear the next day. This was the first time others became aware of the request for the zoning change. The next Sunday, Christina went door to door in the whole area with a letter and copy of her card describing her services. The letter described her holistic practice in a very convincing way. It stated that she just had a few people come in with their pets for an hour or an hour and a half. When asked why she did not have her practice at her home at 31325 Red Mill Drive in Mill Pond Acres, which is about a mile away and across the highway from Old Mill Road, she replied she did not want to have such a large house. Later, we learned that the deed to her property at the Old Mill Road address describes the owners as Christina Abramowitz and her mother, Helena Abramowitz, as joint tenants with 50% interest of each. The application for this zoning change was also signed by both parties. Now we have learned a lot more about is or can be involved in a veterinarian practice. It is obvious there is more than she described in her letter. One of the most important concerns is the threat to the community with environmental and health issues, such as the drainage field from her septic system, which could become polluted due to toxic waste. This could affect the quality of the groundwater in our area. A further consideration is that Christina, in her presentation to P&Z, said she would have a sign in front of her property and also a sign on Coastal Highway pointing out where to turn to get to her place. A sign like that suggests this is a commercial road and is how she wants her customers to think of Old Mill Road as a commercial road. Please reject CU2001. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
You are on the Wells. Is that you're on the well? You're not on county sewer, is that correct?
We're on Wells.
You are on individual Wells?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Thank you. The next speaker, please, sir. And again, I'll ask people, because I see quite a few, just try not to repeat what someone else has said.
It's not as bad as it looks, don't worry. My name is Vince Brady. I live at 32116 Oak Drive. I'm approximately about 300 feet from, as the crow flies, from the vet's property. First of all, we're here today, I believe, to consider a conditional variance for a veterinary practice as applied for by Christina. We are trying to do our due diligence as a community to find out exactly what is involved in this business. It's been presented as a very harmless occupation. However, we have since found out differently. Basically, when we ask questions of Christina, she answers in the present tense. And as you know, the conditional variance for a commercial would be able to renew it every 5 years far into the future. We not only want to know what is happening today, but we want to know what's going to be happening a year from now and 5 years from now. And to this end, you know, that's the reason we are opposing this, because we're not getting the answers that we deserve. Basically, we feel that she always answers our questions in the present tense, and she enjoys word games. She uses words like, I currently have no plans, or yet. And basically, I have a handout here I'd like to go through real quick. I don't know who's responsible for these.
Just hand it, eat one end here or the other.
Okay. There's eight copies there.
Now, Christina says that she has no plans to make kennels or anything. She initially had no plans to see animals in her home either. It was just supposed to be a mobile business. So we've already seen that she's willing to modify her business plan to suit her customers' needs. If her customers demand kennels, I would imagine that they will be put in. Okay, on the top copy is the open letter to the community provided by Christina. There are several things in there I'd like to present here. In paragraph 5, it says, in my application, I specifically request a conditional use for a single veterinarian practice. If you take a look at the application, it was initially written in that way. However, the single veterinary practice was crossed out. It's now just a veterinary practice, which could be multiple veterinarians at the location. She says she's very low volume. However, she just said that she could see up to 6 people a day, which was her maximum capacity. So she's not planning to be low volume. She's planning to operate a maximum capacity for herself. She says she has no need for x-rays or other major equipment. As you may or may not know, a veterinarian is a regulated industry in the state of Delaware under Title 24. She may not have any x-rays or major equipment because she's not yet qualified on them. As part of the regulated industry, she has to be certified, licensed, or registered for use on those equipment. And that is usually accomplished as part of her continuing education requirements under the state of Delaware. So even though she has no need for them right now, maybe a year from now where she takes her continuing ed credits, that could be put into the site if a conditional variance is granted. So we don't know about that. We already know that she's willing to compromise her business plan to make money. We also know that, well, I won't go into that. Basically, at the planning and zoning committee here, she was asked by the planning and zoning, have you looked at C1 properties? And the reply was, no, I have not. And the planning zoning then said, is it because of cost? And her reply was, it's not in my budget. And that's very true. It's a true statement. It wasn't in her budget because she didn't look at any. Now, as the community, as long as she practices outside the community, she takes her mobile business to Georgetown, Milford, wherever she wants to go, I don't think many people in the community have any problem with that. We just ask one small thing. Did she not bring the business to her residents? Because it not only affects her, it affects the entire community. So basically, I sent a listing of commercial properties, a rental space listed for C1 to Christina. And as you may breeze through here real quick, she can get a nice C1 property for under $1,000 total cost per month. And I remind you, this is a business deduction from her income. So she looked at that and she said, take me off my mailing list. So apparently she doesn't appreciate help. The next thing in your brochure is Zillow. Okay? Zillow is a internet real estate service that provides an estimate of property values. You may see where they bought the property on 6/20/14 for $220,000. At that time, the estimate was approximately $255,000. So upon moving in, she had an instant equity of approximately $35,000. But it gets better. Reliable sources have said that there is no mortgage on the property. It was paid for in cash. So she has approximately $250,000 of cash assets that she can use. She wants to use the business as a stepping stone. Again, we have no problem with that, but as long as she does it someplace else. Now, you say, well, it's $1,000 a month for a C1 property to rent C1 space someplace else. Can she afford it? Okay. Basically, the next procedure, the next piece of paper in there is a top 100 highest paying jobs in Sussex County, Delaware, non-metropolitan area. If you go down to number 4, veterinarians, it's the fourth highest paid job down here in Sussex County. Okay.
I didn't know that.
Most people don't.
I thought council person was.
Yeah. No. You're not even on this page, I'm sorry to tell you.
I just ran for re-election. I must be crazy.
But the point is, this is an affordable option for her. It's not out of the realm of possibility. Also, on
that the... That goes to prove that most people think that much of their dogs do their babies, don't they? Or their own children.
Oh, absolutely. They absolutely do think of those as their own personal children.
Retired people can be that way.
Yes.
They want their very best.
Moving on, that pay scale is also supported by the Association of American Veterinary Medical Colleges. If you go through here to mean professional income, if you look at a SAP, small animal predominant.
Excuse me, but we're getting into, this is for a land use hearing, and we're to discuss the land use issues. And I know you've done a lot of research on income and other issues, but we're focusing on the land use application itself. So if you could confine your comments to the land use issue.
Yeah. Many years ago, when I had my elementary age children, we went to visit a farm as part of a school trip. And I thought it would be a rather routine thing. You'd bring the children there, you show them the big horses and cows and everything, and it would be rather mundane. However, I was kind of surprised as we, before we were allowed to exit the bus, we were all giving booties to put over our shoes at this farm. And that raised my curiosity because I had never heard of this. I didn't expect it. And it was a livestock farm. There was going to be goats there. There was going to be horses there. There were going to be cows there. And there was going to be pigs there. So as the trip progressed, I got an opportunity to actually talk with the farmer. And basically, part of the responsibility that he took upon himself was public safety. And the purpose of the booties was to prevent the contamination of soil from going back to the school children's houses and spreading to domesticated animals. Now, this wasn't required by law, and he did it at his own cost. But he saw it as a necessary precaution to the community. And I feel that was a very sound decision on his part. And I think that if he felt that if this contamination could occur and could spread to domestic animals, it's a very valid point. And also, the pig section of the farm is completely off limits to the children. And today, I don't know if the vet would treat pet belly pigs or not, but basically, that you have an interspecies jump there that is possible. All these things present threats to our community. It's an unsound risk. I mean, we have 65 homes in there with retirees that are more susceptible to flus and viruses. Plus, we have our children and grandchildren. I don't think it's an acceptable risk for $1,000 a month. We looked at some of the home occupation things there. Quite frankly, I believe the acupuncture board would have a problem with giving Christina a home occupation permit, because that would mean that every vet could now become an acupuncturist for humans.
We don't really rule on that, do we?
Yeah. Okay, that's a new issue in the future. I'm sorry, I'll skip over that. So basically, we would like you to, you know, consider the 65 other people in our communities as opposed to just her needs and her wants. So we urge you to reject CU 2001.
I'm sort of wondering something. What if it were an MD physician and he wanted to have a very low-level practice? Would you feel differently about it?
Well, there's various different things. I mean, we have to keep in mind that she has a full veterinary practice license, and she could actually, in the future, provide other services. She says she's going to refer this and refer that. I'd seriously doubt that.
Okay.
Not in the long term.
Thank you.
But if it was another
doctor.
Okay?
Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. The next person, please. Is there anyone else that would like to speak? Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Ellen Carter, and I'm an adjacent neighbor, and I'm asking you to please reject CU 2000 application. As neighbors of this property, we strongly object to this application to establish a veterinary practice on a residential street. This property is an individual home, which in a short time has been made to look like a very unkept and badly neglected property. Could I show you these?
Sure.
Emma.
This is
the front yard. Pass them down.
Since ownership of this home was taken over in the area of June, the front yard was immediately turned into plants and different types of gardening. The yard was never mowed, which made it look very neglected. There's also a poopy container located in front. Also, another front crude wood structure, which needs to be removed. Don't know what that is for. The growth of the plants is for the holistic healing. It's now covered with plastic covers, looking tent-like in the front yard.
Like a hothouse.
She states she plans to make it a practice. She's been seeing patients since living there. We live very close to this home. It's a detriment to our property. If we ever wanted or needed to sell, this would affect the price of ours considerably. There's a lot across from their property. The people came to look at what is happening. They had planned to retire her soon, but after looking at this property, feel like they may not, also probably would not be able to even sell the property. A request like this should absolutely be located in a commercial zone, not in residential. A majority of us living in the area are senior citizens. We worry about the presence of sick animals, maybe getting loose, leaving discharge in the ground, all of us on wells, and possibly keeping overnight, affecting the neighborhood also. I strongly object to CU 2001.
Okay,
thank you.
And could you sign in there too, please?
There.
Oh, there's not. Mr. Guy must have run off with it.
I've done that.
Yes. And is there anyone else that would like to speak?
Just sign there, please.
My name is Suzanne Hain. I live at 32250 Sandpiper Drive in the Nassau Acres area at the Old Mill area. And basically, as a woman, as a professional woman formerly, I can understand Dr. Abramowitz's, you know, concern about getting her business off the ground. My concern is that her application is for a veterinary practice. The application before you doesn't say holistic. That's only in the record. I don't know if that matters. Mm-hmm. So I'm really just saying, if you're going to approve this, then put restrictions or limitations or requirements or whatever the proper word is.
Conditions.
Conditions upon it, for instance, a fence to protect us from sick animals get away, require that the primary use of the home be for living and that the practice be in a separate room with a door and a wall from it. That would seem to be. Set up a 2-year limit. Why not? How much time does it take to get a business off the ground if it doesn't get off the ground in 2 years? Mm-hmm. You know, state that it's for alternative holistic services, which again, by the way, I'm really for. Require that she be affiliated with a local vet practice so that should the animals require, you know, traditional services, that she can take them to a vet, either do the work there or whatever. State, no boarding. I've heard it said, put it in there, no boarding at all. Make the signage to be similar to what we have, name and address. And don't, please, use this as a precedent to say, oh, well, we already have one practice along here. Why don't we just let a few more doctors and massage therapists and beauticians or whatever move in? We came there because it's wooded and residential, and we love it for that reason and would love to see it preserved.
And if it were sold, that would not, that would really, would only, could be sold to the person, the next owner maybe want to run a veterinary practice, but that's about it.
Okay,
in other words, it sort of goes with the person. Am I right there? You know, it doesn't attach to the
property.
It goes with the property.
Attached to
the property. So could it be sold by Dr. Abramowitz?
She could sell it, but I don't think that conditional use.
Well, unless they would do the exact same thing, the exact same stipulation, the exact same requirements, then it goes away.
Okay. It's very unlikely.
I'm trying not to be. Okay.
Very unlikely. Yeah.
I have my restrictions down. I like them for the record. I think that, if this really is a stepping stone, require that it be a stepping stone. There are commercial properties not far away, mm-hmm. all of which are available for this practice. Okay? Thank you very much.
Part of the conditional use process allows the council to place conditions or restrictions on the use. And, so that would be one of the considerations if they acted favorably.
Okay.
Okay, next, is anyone else that would like to speak?
I'm going to sign in for him because he's a GIMP today.
I'll put my X down.
Thank
you. And put our sign up if you're the poster. I'm George Dellinger. I also live at 32250 Sandpiper Drive.
I've heard from you.
Yes, ma'am. All of you have. The letter for record is different than the letters that you've received prior from me, because I didn't want to duplicate, but also want to make sure that we address the pertinent points and address them thoroughly and on the record and on the tape. I won't read salutations and things that are repetitive. That would be rude and inappropriate. I understand that. The first thing, though, is that 2001, CU 2001, as we see it, as neighbors who have moved in here several years ago, is a blatant attempt to misuse the AR1 conditional use process to put a commercial business in a zone that's not meant to be commercial. It also violates and ignores two very specific zoning codes that apply to AR1 properties. Presuming that we all read the Cape Gazette, we've seen that some people think that this application is unique, as a unique conditional use. Agreed. Some folks think it's most interesting as a conditional use. Agreed. Others have said, gee, we've never put a veterinary practice in a home before. And my contention is for good reason. Because it's unhealthy, it's a public health hazard, it's a risk to the neighborhood. And there's already zoning codes that apply to that. With regard to barking dogs through the night, we agree that if in fact the discipline continues that there's no overnighters, there won't be barking dogs. But what will there be? We just heard the doctor testify that she's planning on having 5 or 6 or so patients visit per day. Let's do the math. That's around 30 to 40 a week. That's about 120 to 160 a month. Many of us are dog owners and have other pets. Those pets are going to relieve themselves and mark the territory before they go in and after they come out of the veterinary's home. We know they're going to leave all their urine behind. Nobody picks that up. And they're going to leave some of the feces behind because nobody picks it all up. Think about it. 120 animals visiting per month. 240 trips around the property boundary. 240 opportunities to mark the property, let alone the attraction that that's going to bring to our own pets who are going to smell those strangers and want to override that marking. It's a health hazard. It's an aroma hazard. It's a problem. It's part of why the existing zoning laws prohibit the cohabitation of veterinary practices in a home. Additionally, each and every one of the animals that's going to come to this practice are there for one reason. They're sick. They're ill. Dr. Abramowitz has a website. It's referenced in her testimony at the Planning and Zoning Commission. It's referenced by some of the materials we gave to the Planning Commission file when we went through the process earlier in November. The list of things that these animals are going to be coming in with are rashes and pus and mange. They're going to have liver problems and heart problems and kidney problems. They're going to be having diarrhea and they're going to be vomiting. Two questions. One is, what becomes of that residue that's left in the front yard? But more importantly, and to the veterinarian's health, what happens to it in the house? The things that need to be noticed and questioned bring to mind things that the health department really should be looking into before this thing is granted any kind of allowance to proceed. And you notice I use the word proceed because the veterinarian has been providing these services without permission all these months. Has the county or will the county notice the small house? We're talking land use, the small amount of property. Notice that it's a four-room, single-story house that's served by one air conditioner. Notice that there's no waiting room. Notice that the diagnosing and treatment room are also the applicant's living room. Notice that there's no sanitation barrier between the treatment area, the veterinarian's kitchen, or the place where she stores the medical waste. Notice that the applicant will be living 24/7 in the residual atmosphere and airborne debris and dust and fur and trimming and germs that remain from her patients. And what if some of these conditions are communicable? There's a fancy word that starts with Z. It's in one of the handouts that I will put on the record. It's issued by the CDC, the disease control folks. It's a word about yay long, but it means diseases that are transmittable between animals and humans. Some of these animals could come in. If it's good weather, they're going to be walking around the yard before it's their time to go and see the doctor. Regardless, these things are going to be inside the house, inside a closed environment in the wintertime with one air conditioning system that the doctor is going to be breathing the air and the debris of 24/7. Absolutely unhealthy. It's a risk. The public health department needs to be involved if there is a desire or wish or intent to go forward with this application. On the more legalistic side, the folks who framed the zoning regulations and codes for AR1 knew what they were doing. They were migrating from an agriculture environment to the use of land for single residential homes for residential purposes. For that reason, when they put in permitted uses under zoning code 115-20, they give a long list of uses that are appropriate. How interesting, though, when you look at item 12, and it says, for hospitals and sanitariums, but not for veterinary clinical purposes. I have a copy of the regulations if they're not in your files. Next, when you look at code 115.22, especially it's section B, sentence 4. If you have a property of 5 acres or more, and if all of your outbuildings and primary buildings, if all of your buildings are at least 200 feet from the lot lines, then you can have hospitals or clinics for large and small animals, but only if you have a 5 acre or greater property and if all of your buildings are at least 200 feet from the lot lines. There's no way in the world that this property qualifies.
Sir, how long has this law been involved?
I'm sorry?
How long has this law been enforced?
I have no idea, but it's enforced today.
Well, the reason I'm saying it is because I know a veterinarian business right now does not have that kind of acreage and lives right here in Georgetown. So that's the reason I'm asking that question.
That one, you'll have to see what it's your laws, not mine. I'm just right. Living with them.
That's a kind of law?
Yeah, it's East Sutton County ordinance.
Okay.
And the question is whether it's an AR1. I don't know. It could be commercial. Like Savannah Clinic is right there on Route 1. That's not 5 acres. But it's not AR1 either. I think of Four Paws, where we take our own pets, way down in the Seaford area. Dr. Mike has at least 10 acres down there, where he belongs, where that kind of business belongs. A couple of times even today, the question about a home occupation has come up as possibly a way for this business to be continued. First of all, under no conditions should the county allow this business to go forward just because of the health hazards of cohabitating veterinary practice with home. Think about it, a small little home, a four-room home, no separation between the examination and treatment rooms in the kitchen, let alone the bedrooms and the other two rooms in the house. When you look at the regulations for home practice or home occupation, it's very specific. It says only to sell products that are made on the property. Well, all these exotic medicines were not made on the property. It says that everybody who's working it should live on the property. Mom's involved in this business, and she doesn't live there. Thirdly, it says that the home occupation should be the sideline and that the primary purpose should be the dwelling. When you look at the number of hours dealing with clients, when you look at the use of the exterior land, and it's the entire property, it's not the inside of the building. When you look at that regulation, it's the entire property. The primary use of this property, even today, without permission, is as a veterinarian facility. The secondary use is as a home. So for these reasons, I and the many members of the community who have sent letters and pleas and requests ask you to please reject this. And for the record, what I have is this letter that's a little bit more articulate than what I went with. Items from CDC, the World Health Organization, OSHA, and the Veterinary Clinic Association, all that warn about the dangers and risks and in health, not only to the veterinarian, but to the neighborhood by intermixing veterinary practice with a residential area.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, is anyone else planning to speak? And I would ask you to not repeat things that have already been stated.
My name is Michael Carta, C-A-R-T-A, and I live at number 2 Roberts Road, which is just across the street from this particular property. Its subject is CU-2001. Requesting a veterinary practice in an AR1 zoning. I've been living in a very pleasant residential area here in Sussex County for the past 18 years. One Mary E. Patterson, who I do not know, requested a service level evaluation from the Zoning Commission on April the 1st. I would assume it would have been for this particular property owner purchasing the property on June 14th. This was prior to the house being purchased and settled in June of 2014 by Christina Abramowitz. She had requested one veterinary and animal hospital. This was to be in our neighborhood, consisting of 100% residential homes. This practice has no business in a very quiet, pleasant neighborhood. It is ludicrous to think that in a short period of time, her business could increase dramatically. She did not have the approval of the Zoning Commission when she took possession of said property, and yet she continued to serve clients up to this date, back yesterday, without a level evaluation. There is no fence to restrain animals from leaving her property. She has dog feces posts in her driveway to collect everyone's dog droppings. Sick animals can contaminate all properties within 100 yards of the property. And with many seniors living in the area, this could possibly subject the elderly to some type of contamination. If she keeps her instruments and working tables similar to the way she keeps up her yard, I would bet that customers would end up taking her animals to a vet hospital that's located in a commercial area of Sussex County, a place that is respectfully clean and tidy. I do not know of any vet practice that looks like her establishment. The owner is not being a good neighbor. This approval will definitely have a negative effect on all of our properties to be sold or purchased in the future, and the vet practice should be located in a C1 location. If there's any other communities that are just strictly R1, they would not allow, or they cannot allow, this particular business to go into those houses. And the practice, again, should be located in a C1 location. And like I say, I don't know how she can operate the business right now when she doesn't have the approval of the county, but she's been on it right along. Probably effective back in April 1, thinking that she was going to get this level evaluation approved. Okay, and so then when she moved in, she started, you know, seeing her her patients. But that's all I have to
say.
Okay,
thank you. I saw two more hands up. Okay.
My name is George Nason. I live at 32129 Oak Drive. And I'm asking you to deny CU2001. I agree with everything that's been said in opposition to CU2001. Let's just say that Dr. Abramo was successful. Will she desire to live in the way that she's proposing or the way that she has been living, basically a doorway, a room away from her practice? I kind of don't think so. Would she buy commercial property then and move her business and remain on Old Mill Road as a resident only? Or would she buy a home in a residential neighborhood to live in but keep the property on Old Mill Road for her practice? Buying a new home to live in is more economically feasible than buying commercial property for her business. In the meantime, whatever conditions you put on there, why should the residents in the neighborhood around Old Mill Road be faced with the burden of having to have to report something when this whole thing could have been avoided with Sussex County Council simply going by the letter of the law and denying 2001? Because this thing could turn into an ongoing saga that nobody wants, and I don't think we deserve it, or else none of us would have moved in there probably. With faced with these recent developments, one of which being 2001 and the other, 1998. But now we have the burden that's on us. And if something is going to get done about it, it's going to require our action to bring it to the attention of the authorities. But the authorities are not going to be watching it. We are going to be watching it. Well, look at the energy that's already been put into this. How much more energy are we supposed to put into it? Put this thing to bed. This thing has been dragged on for a while. I don't know how long it should drag on when there are laws that say simply, you know, what it is. It's unacceptable. And it just seems like we're going to great lengths to sell the idea of moving a veterinary practice into a neighborhood where it's not desired or required. It could easily be put any place else.
Okay, thank you. There was another gentleman. Would you like to come forward, please?
You okay?
Keep all right, John.
Thank you.
See, no, John. Do you have some?
Don't love him. Don't love your shirt.
I'll poke her.
Thank you.
Wake her up.
My name is Robert Head. I live at 5 Roberts Road in Lewis. And Roberts Road terminates right on Old Mill Road, approximately 500 feet from the location of the request for CU 2001. I would like to read a short letter for the record, if I could. When I first heard about the above request by Dr. Abramowitz, I was neutral on whether or not our plans would be of concern to me. As time went on, I began to listen to other neighbors' concerns, and I became convinced that this application should be denied. Firstly, it is somewhat offensive that she felt comfortable in making a significant investment in property, expecting to be able to run a business that is clearly not allowed by the current zoning without obtaining the required conditional use variance approval before consummating the purchase. Most significantly, as is being well documented by others, a veterinary practice is specifically limited to properties of 5 acres or more in AR1 zones with specific restrictions on setbacks, etc. This caused me to think about my visits to our veterinarian with our cats. I note that these facilities are divided up into a series of small exam rooms that are built with materials that are obviously easy to sanitize, much like you would find in a hospital emergency room. You certainly don't find carpeting, linens, kitchen utensils to eat, etc. They do not mix home and hospital decor. The question could be asked, why are we so concerned about infection hazards and health risks? Since Dr. Abramowitz is a trained veterinarian, she surely understands the risks and isn't concerned. In response, I came across a study referred to on the NIOSH website, that's National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, which comes under the CDC. Entitled Infectious Control Practices and Zoonotic Diseases Risks Among Veterinarians in the United States. The conclusion was surprising and highly relevant to this discussion. It was, and I quote, most U.S. veterinarians are not aware of appropriate personal protective equipment use and do not engage in practices that may help reduce zoonotic disease transmission, end quote. It would seem even to the medically uneducated that mixing home and veterinary practice in residential neighborhoods is not a practice designed to minimize the potential for disease transmission. The arguments for denying this application are compelling. Please deny it. I have a letter, and I also have the attachment from the website from NIOSH, which talks about this. It's an abstract of the article. And I think this just reinforces what others have said, that there is risks associated with this, and it doesn't belong there.
Okay. Thank you.
And it doesn't belong there.
And you can give Mr. Lank the letter seated there.
I'm sorry?
I was just telling you to give the letter to Mr. Lank.
Okay, I did.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Linda Brady, and I live at 32116 Oak Drive. And all I want to do is have it put on record that we have, all of us have, wells which draw from a huge aquifer. And as everyone knows, the land here is sand. So anything that's on the top of that ground is going to go into our well system. Thank you.
Thank you. And anyone else? Not seeing anyone else, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter and close the public record, and this matter had been deferred by planning and zoning.
We'll close the public hearing, so you, the council, close public comment.
I'd like to.
And a motion to defer.
Move, that's my.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion? Take a vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I would, yes, motion carried. Okay, now let's back up to old business.